to see everybody here tonight. We got a pretty good crowd for a Sunday night. The title of the lesson is We Ignore God. And you say, well, wait a minute, not me. Well, we're going to talk about that. See, you might say you never ignore God, but you know what? You could be wrong, and chances are you are. And so that's just something that, because none of us are perfect. That's what we have to realize. None of us are perfect, so yeah, we could be wrong when we say, well, I never ignore God, but you say, but sometimes you ignore His Word, and that's the same thing. And so we have to look at it that way. Let's see what we're talking about. And I mean, I'm not getting on everybody's case here, because we know God is everywhere. And He is omnipresent. That's what it means. He's everywhere. And not only that, He's omniscient. He knows all. He sees all. He sees not only what you and I are doing, but He's able to see your thoughts and your intents. And so He is there all the time. And the psalmist in chapter 139 writes of the presence of God wherever we go. I go to the highest mountain, behold, thou art there. If I go to the deepest sea, behold, thou art there. I cannot hide from thee. I go, the darkness cannot hide me from thee. And so, yeah, God is there watching us. And the psalmist mentioned, yes, and you were there as my inward parts were forming in the womb. And so God knows everything. Now, God is near and not far off. I mean, He told this to the people in Isaiah's day. And He is as close to us, He's all around us, and for some, He is even in us. And you wonder, well, how can that be? Well, we have that promise. Jesus taught that those who are in Christ also have the blessedness of having God the Father in them as well. And so that's what he does. And the truth of the matter is that while God is everywhere, He only occupies our hearts if we allow Him to come in. I mean, there's just no other way. He's not going to force Himself on us. He's not going to force us to be obedient. I mean, He gives us that option. He gives us that choice. And so we make the choice. And if we make the wrong choice, who are we to complain when we get judgment passed against us? Of something that we're not expecting. And so here's where a lot of people, their minds are just kind of a little flippant there, and they're thinking, well, God's going to accept me because I am who I am, and it's not going to be that way if you read God's Word and you learn that. Sometimes we keep God boxed up as a backup plan if all else fails. And you know, a lot of people are like this. I'm going to do it on my own, and I'll figure it out myself, and if I have to, I can rely on God to come fix the problem. A lot of people do that. They're living for themselves, and when they're thinking with that type of thinking, what else can you call it but selfishness? That's all it is, and selfishness is a sin. So we just have to realize God is not a backup plan. You remember the bumper stickers years ago, God is my co-pilot? No. God's the pilot. He's the one who directs us. You know, we're supposed to lean on God and not on our own understanding. We're supposed to acknowledge Him, and He will direct our paths. The Lord's path, the man's ways are directed by the Lord. And so we have that in several passages of Scripture. And sometimes we just don't want God to see what we're doing because we think He'll be disappointed in us. You know, Adam and Eve tried to get away and hide from God. Did that work? No, that didn't work. And so there's no time in which we can get away from the eyes of God. And no matter how dark the room is, how much darkness we believe the stealth will cover us and hide us from God, but it will not. And so that a lot of people feel this way. See, our minds may pretend to host God, but our actions really determine whether we serve the God of heaven or something else. And so that's what we see here. Romans 6:16 tells us that we are the servants of the one we serve. We either serve righteousness or we serve wickedness. There is no serving of anything else. It's one or the other. You'll find in the scriptures when choices have to be made, it's usually between one of two options, either this or that. In Deuteronomy, several times he told the people, choose life or choose death. Choose good, choose evil. Choose right or choose wrong. And he still gave them that choice. And of course, he told them, I won't be pleased if you make the wrong choice. But he says it's still your choice to make. And most of the world kind of goes along with that idea. Well, it's my choice. That's what I want to do. And so when we realize the presence of God, why do we continue to ignore him? And that's the question we have. I mean, if God is so great and everybody seems to acknowledge the presence of God, even though they don't live like it. I mean, out on the field of play, you see these guys always motioning up to God, give it up to God and all that stuff. And yet they still ignore him. I mean, so just acknowledging the fact that he exists, we don't do it. Like we read from Romans 1:21 this morning. They saw fit not to honor God as God. All right, so who is the we? You know, we probably need to explain this a little bit because I said we ignore God. And so we're going to have to look at that. And so we should define and specify who the we is that we are discussing, because I'm sure some of you are saying, well, I'm not trying to ignore God. I don't want to ignore God. And so maybe I'm not doing this what is suggested. So let's see who the we is. See, we is humanity, meaning everyone that is alive, and we as a nation under God. I mean, we're talking about the American nation, and we in the community of faith, which includes all religions. And so there's a lot of them. And then if we keep looking, we find we in the local church. I mean, whoa, that's getting close to home for some of us. And so if we're not careful, we as individuals. All right, so let's explain these and look at these. And so the last one does not apply to everyone, but it does to many. And people don't like to think that way. They, like I said, they want to feel, well, I'm okay with God. God's okay with me, and I'm not going to make any changes. And that's how they behave. All right, let's look at we as humanity. As humanity have, for the most part, ignored the God of heaven. Now, how can you say that? Well, first of all, we in the local church are human, so we fall into this category. Well, that's true. We are human. We are part of humanity. But we are just one small portion of humanity when you think about it. Now, if you sat down to understand this to mean the majority of humanity, and when I say majority, I'm not talking 51%. Everyone who is a true Christian understands that the actual number is a 99.995 or 996 as far as the wicked of this world. I mean, most people are that way. And Jesus said the majority would be going off in the path of destruction. There will be few that find the truth. Now, even when we say that, that doesn't mean only 10 or 15 are going to make it. Yeah, we're still talking millions are going to be faithfully making it to heaven. And that just over time, throughout time, all those who have served the Lord God to the best of their ability in the way which he has said, yes, they're going to go there. And yes, that means there's literally millions who have obeyed God. But yet, when we look at the overall humanity, what do we see? Like we discussed this morning, we see generally an idea to glorify sin and to basically call out those who expose sin. All right, so humanity has chosen to do what they want to do with little regard for how God wants us to act, behave, and live. In other words, most of humanity just does what they want to do. A lot of them do it out of survival mode. Just do what I have to do to survive. If that means stealing from somebody, if that means killing somebody, that's what I'm going to do. And as humanity go through our everyday existence, giving little regard to God and his authority, and truth is found in the Bible. You know, we see the numbers when you read about Bibles, they are the number one selling book for all humanity. I mean, they sell more copies. They print more copies of the Bible than anything. More Bibles are distributed than any other book in this universe. And yet, what happens to it? Most people just set it aside. They might balance out their table if it's a little wobbly with their Bibles. They might put it on the dashboard of their car to let people think that, hey, there's a religious person drives that car, or something like that. But examining and following the authority of God is usually ignored by all of humanity, at least the great majority. And like I say, 99% is a reasonable number to put out there. See, most humanity ignores God. Now, immorality is running rampant as a wildfire. The hoses are being turned toward the Bible beaters and those nasty old fundamentalists because most of humanity want us to respect their rights to practice sin. That's what they do. You know, my body, my choice. If I want to kill my baby, that's my choice to do. And you have to respect that. If I want to shack up with someone of the same sex, you just have to respect that. That's what they tell us to do. And so this wildfire of sin is taking off, but they're not putting the hoses on the problem. They're putting the hoses on those who are exposing the problem and calling it what it is. What God calls it. It is sin. And that's what they do. And so it is the truth that immoral people have rights. There's no doubt about it. They have rights. They don't need special rights, which basically they find ways to get the legislators to write them special rights. But everybody should be treated the same. And I'm telling us as Christians, it doesn't matter who they are, what color they are, what they decide to wear, how they behave, we should not violate their rights by any reason. Some people think, well, it's okay to diss somebody and it's okay to treat them like garbage. No, it is not okay to do that. I mean, they are human beings. And as long as they are alive, there's the potential that they could hear the truth and obey the gospel. And that's what we need to focus on, even though they don't want to hear the truth. They tell us they don't want the truth. Well, so be it. I mean, but that doesn't mean we can mistreat anybody. So yes, they have rights. We just have to be careful that their rights don't basically extend beyond what is fair to others. And so will they try to remind God that they have rights to sin when they stand before him in judgment? I mean, question that. Will they do that? But God, I have every right to choose the person I wanted to love, to live the way I wanted to live, to wear what I wanted to wear. I have every right. Maybe as a human you have rights, but when you stand before God, that's not going to be the criteria God is going to use. We know God is going to use the Bible as the standard by which we need to conduct ourselves. See, sadly, the rights of Christians who actually speak God's truths are being taken away at an alarming rate throughout this world. And we see it all the time. People who want to speak God's word, they're being arrested, they're being harassed, they're being made fun of, they're being ridiculed, and it happens. I mean, as we try and teach the gospel on the internet, there's always people coming back with nasty little quips and quirks and telling you how evil you are for speaking the truth of God's word. And so, I mean, and it's just going to continue more and more. Every time they decide to pass a law to protect somebody's rights, they want to throw in something. Well, we'll tell them Christians to leave us alone. If those Christians say anything, we got to have them arrested. And sometimes they even write that into the laws. And so, that is happening. Now, we as a nation, I mean, like I said this morning, sometimes people have called this a Christian nation, and I explained this morning, it's anything but. And it is not a Christian nation. And it is obvious that honoring and respecting God is becoming more and more unpopular. And so, fewer people are professing a faith in God, and even fewer are willing to take a stand for the truth because they don't want to get ridiculed. They don't want to be made fun of. So they just try and draw back into that silence. And here's the problem. We see our politicians mock the Bible and make fun of it, and they're praised by their words. Oh, yeah, that's so right. That's so true. And we love what you're having to say. But let someone speak the truth. See, our laws are now written to silence those who would promote morality and the truth of God's words. And that's one of the reasons why the morality is going rampant, because they said, we don't need God. We don't need the Bible. We're going to do whatever we want to do, whatever our society wants to do. We're going to let them do it. And that's what they're doing. And as a nation, it's that way. See, as many people in times past used to call America a Christian nation, it is obvious that there is very little that is Christian about it. And there's very little that is Christian that is being promoted these days by our leadership and our general population. And so when a presidential candidate said, this is not a Christian nation, that's sacrilegious to say something like that. But he was right. This is not a Christian nation. We live in a place that is not a Christian language, and we live in a place that is not conducive to a good environment for us. We just have to learn to make the best use of what we have, and what we have is God's Word. And if we don't use that, then we're just going to go in and join everybody else in ignoring God. See, the truth is that this nation has never been a Christian nation. And you can say, you can argue with that all you want. It never has been. No nation on this earth has really been a Christian nation. I mean, the closest thing that ever was the Jewish nation. I mean, that was God's own possession. But now that Christ has come along and destroyed that law, I mean, no nation has the right to call itself a Christian nation. And so, all right. So, however many of the laws were written to reflect Christian values and principles, and people mistakenly claim to be this to be a Christian nation. We know the people who started one time in our history, the majority of people were seeking to worship and serve the God of heaven. And there's no doubt about that. We read about it. We read some of the back biographies of the great preachers who went around. They went around on horseback. They rode in stagecoaches. They went preaching the word. They followed the example of Acts 8 and 4. They went everywhere preaching the word. And they were converting people. And at one time, back in between 1900 and 1940, the Church of Christ was the fastest growing group in this country. It was growing fast because people were clamoring for the truth. They wanted the truth. And when they found out their preacher wasn't preaching the truth, they had no problem switching to one who did preach the truth. And they did that. But then around 1940s, with the war and everything, I mean, things started to change. And by the time the late 50s come along, early 60s, people said, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm not going to follow the establishment. I'm going to do my own thing. And one of those things is, I'm not going to go to church anymore. And so here in the late 60s, early 70s, that basically became the culture for the majority of Americans. I don't go to church. Why should I go to church? I don't need church. I mean, so that's their idea. But that's what happens. They started out trying to serve God, and many of the laws were written to support one's belief in God and godly values. But as time goes along, and we see this happening with the various court systems, they're trying to reinterpret the law. from what is originally written, they're trying to reinterpret the law to make it say and allow people to do things. Like, if you want to murder your baby, hey, no problem, go ahead and do that. So if you want to marry somebody of the same sex, no problem, go ahead and do that. And so that's what has been happening over this time. Now, the next group we want to talk about, those in the community of faith. And yes, I'm going to talk about preachers and teachers and leaders in all these denominations out there, because they cover the community of faith. And so if you bring up the word community of faith, you're basically covering everybody all in one spot. So sadly, many who claim to be God's spokespersons and spiritual leaders, they appear to ignore God with more frequency. Yes, there was one time when they really respected the Bible as God's word. Just about all the major denominations had creed books, and all the creed books basically attested to the fact that, yes, the Bible is the infallible, inerrant word of God, and it supplies everything we need. But you know what? That's going away. I would imagine if you saw the current creed book of a lot of these groups, they just ignore the Bible altogether. They ignore God's word altogether, and yet they still trying to let people think, well, you're okay with God, and it doesn't matter what the Bible says, you're okay. Now, let's face it. What would you want to hear? I have to change my life to be someone that God is pleased with, or I can keep doing what I'm doing and God will still be pleased with me? Ooh, is that really a hard choice to make? Not really. That sounds so easy. And so that's why, as time went along, all these people started writing about their doctrines, and they started talking about, the doctrine of faith only is a most wholesome and comforting doctrine. So that's quoted from some of their books. But even then, now, they basically, the fact that they have a creed book basically says, well, we know what the Bible says, and we think that's it's right, but we're going to follow what's in our creed book instead. Now, does that really make a lot of sense? No, it does not. But that's what they feel comfortable with. See, many of our preachers and teachers are leaving the Word of God and substituting it with philosophy, comedy, books of supposed spiritual learning, yet most leave out what is really important from God's Word, the plan of salvation. They just say, all you have to do is believe, and that's all you need to do. And they don't teach all of God's Word. So partial truth is false truth. There's no way of saying it. If you only preach the part of faith only, faith, then you can be saved by faith, then you're leaving out part of what the Bible says. And so we know what the warnings from God are, those who add to it and those who take away from it, and those who try and change what it actually says. And yes, there's a lot of that going on these days. They're taking the words that by inspiration were given to us and translated correctly. Well, this really doesn't mean that. How does it make you feel when someone says, well, I know what the Bible says, but I want to do it this way. I see it like this, or it seems to me. We know what the Bible says about that from Proverbs. So even the commandments of God are treated with little respect from the pulpits of our land. And like I said this morning, we go through, we read the Bible, and a lot of these things which God really gave to us as a command, we just kind of just gloss on over it without really taking heed. Wait, this is a command. In 2 weeks, you're going to get a lesson on the hardest command for us to obey, which we're all guilty of. And so we're going to point that out in a couple of weeks. All right. See, many pulpits are nothing more than political soapboxes and people seeking to promote some sort of social agenda. We know that's the case in many denominations, and sadly, in some churches of Christ, that's taking place. So if the preachers would speak God's truth and tell women that killing their unborn babies is murder, life might be more respected. But they're not doing it, and they're standing up there supporting these women. And I know there's preachers in the Church of Christ. Hey, they have no problem with abortion. Try telling that to God. I mean, you're going to have a chance one of these days. You'll stand before God, and you're going to find out right then and there. So, yeah, if preachers would tell people that sex outside of marriage is fornication and will produce the wrath of God, there might be less pornography and prostitution taking place. And you just think, and a lot of people would not be shacking up with each other. And then, of course, all the various sexual sins, which comes under the guise of fornication. The preachers stopped doing that. They stopped teaching on it. And we know how this happens. Back in the mid-60s, they did a lot of preaching on divorce and remarriage, how evil it was. But then all of a sudden, about the mid-60s, they stopped preaching on it. Lo and behold, by the time the middle 70s got here, guess what? People were right and left were divorcing, even people in the church. People in the church were basically looking out, oh, I like that woman, I'm going to marry her. And they swapped their wives and husbands. And they do that. I mean, that even happened here in Fremont. And so they stopped teaching on it. Then all of a sudden, okay, here we go. So then we had to start teaching the truth on the matter again. But by that time, there were already preachers who had turned the truth of God into a lie and said, well, that's really not what it means. I mean, Jesus wasn't right, and Jesus doesn't contradict the law, and the law says you can put away your wife. You go back to Deuteronomy. We don't live under that law anymore. But they failed to see that. And so, yeah, there's a lot of that taking place. See, if preachers would teach us to love our neighbors, there just might be less robbery and hatred in our world. But you know what? It's okay to hate somebody. I mean, that's what they teach. They allow that. And they don't really try and set it up. Bigotry and hatred and racism. I mean, they sit there and support it. That's just not right. And they will have to pay the price for it. In the church today, we have more brethren ignoring God. And this will be similar to what I said this morning. They turn to materialism and greed, or selfishness and pride. I mean, all of these things. And they turn to these things and they begin to turn away those who preach the truth to listen to those who do not preach all the truth. See, we know that. And we've known some people like that. I mean, they don't want that. I mean, I read on social media sometimes from faithful Christians asking, where are all the sound preachers who are bold to speak the truth? You know, there's some Christians here in the Bay Area who ask this question. They look out, they travel around, they go to all these churches, and the bold preachers are very rare, rare indeed. They're in there making you feel good and feel happy about yourself. And if you got flaws, it's okay. God overlooks your flaws. His grace is going to cover it. And that's what the people want to hear. See, the problem is the people do not care for the truth as they care for someone to tell them they are just fine. That's what they want. And we quoted 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4 this morning. Yeah, so as a result, they can continue their current lifestyle without any guilt. You can go on your way. I mean, if you want to be a grouchy old person, you can be grouchy and grumpy, and oh, but you're still a good Christian. See, those don't fit, do they? Grouchy and grumpy do not describe the attitude of a Christian. But yet, we sit back and we act grouchy and grumpy sometimes. And sometimes we take it out. We take it out on the driver in front of us. We take it out on the people in the parking lot. We take it out on anybody who really irks us for some reason. I mean, it's just something. Like, say, we ignore God. See, many would be just as happy for their preacher to lie to them instead of stepping on their toes. Like I said this morning, stepping on toes If your toes are getting stepped on, it means you're doing something you shouldn't be doing. You need to make some adjustments in your life. And it's not because they're doing it out of meanness. I mean, it's not like I use a sledgehammer, which sometimes I think that's about the only thing that would catch someone's attention. But no, all I use is the truth. And that's painful enough for some people. And that's really sad. They just want those feel-good sermons. They want to know, I feel good, and God loves me, and that's all I really need to know. God loves me, and I can do whatever I want to do, and God's still going to love me. Now, they deceive themselves into thinking, well, this is the way God has it designed. But no, it's not. The truth is that any sermon should make you feel good when you learn from it and apply it as needed. All right, the Bible says that the Lord is near and not far off. See, in Isaiah 46, 12 and 13, listen to me, you stubborn-minded who are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness, it is not far off, and my salvation will not delay. And I will grant salvation in Zion and my glory for Israel. And the people had a choice. They could have repented and turned to God and received that righteousness and that salvation, but they chose not to do it. The Bible says the Lord is in our midst. Isaiah 12, verse 6, cry aloud and shout for joy, O inhabitants of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. And we also know, as Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. And so, that means we set up an environment that is suitable for the Holy of Holies to come into our presence. And that's what it comes down to. I mean, so this sanctuary that we're in is just a building. It is a room. When we come together with our hearts prepared to worship Him, He is there in our midst. And so we understand that. And all of this is dependent upon us allowing Him to be there. See, if our hearts and our minds are elsewhere, if we're just going through the motions, do you think God is in our midst? He may be seeing everything we're doing, but he is not one with us in our hearts. I mean, we're not one and we're not in tune with each other. And so we have to understand that. He observes our every action and knows our every thought. You know, for some people, that ought to scare them. Because sometimes I'm thinking, I wish something would happen to that person. That person did me wrong. I wish something bad would happen to them. And you know what? God is listening to that. We have to be reminded of that sometimes. Because, yeah, I mean, some people just get us so irate and upset that, I mean, we just want something bad to happen to them. God doesn't like that. We have to be reminded of that from time to time. See, Proverbs 5:21 says, the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. And so, yes, I mean, we have to be mindful of that. And God's watching everything we do. Several times in the Old Testament, the eyes of the Lord are throughout the earth, going to and fro to see what man is up to, or something that's paraphrasing, but that's what he means. He's going to see what you're doing. He's going to be checking on you. And folks, he's checking on you all the time. It's not like, okay, between 12:30 and 1 o'clock, he's going to be off on the lunch break so you can get away with stuff, and then you can come back and behave yourself. No. He's active 24/7. You know, just like Satan's active 24/7. All right, so we will have no defense to offer on Judgment Day if we do not seek the Lord here and now. I mean, that's very true. So please take a few minutes when you get the chance. Read Isaiah 55. And I mean, it talks about the Lord's way is higher than our ways. And call upon the Lord while he is near. So read Isaiah 55 when you get home and check it out. Now, does we mean everyone has ignored God? I think I said plainly and simply, no, it doesn't mean everyone. but it does mean the majority. I mean, so some of us who are true Christians actually respect God and His truth, and we love His truth, and we love His laws, and we try and keep as many as we can. Sometimes I think the biggest thing is we just need to learn more of what His laws are so that we can do more of His laws. And that's really what He wants us to do, to grow in grace and knowledge. That means to develop ourselves. Because like I said, there's a lot of commandments in there that we haven't really figured out our commandments, and we need to work on that. So, will you see yourself that there are people still faithful to God? Yes, there are. And remember that God is watching us with patience while the judgment is to come. But one of these days, that patience will run out and judgment will be upon us. And so we'll either die and face God in judgment, or He will decide to end it all and we'll stand before God in judgment at that time. So that's our lesson for tonight. I mean, a lot of people ignore God. And I guess I got a little bit on my soapbox and said some things, but they needed to be said. So think about those. We're going to sing the invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.